Welcome to this mini teaching about what is the gospel. We are now heading into part 4, so stay tuned. Today, as we step into and are looking into what is the gospel, we will actually look into that the gospel is found in the preaching of the early Christians. The gospel is found in the preaching of the early Christians. It is truly astonishing to see how the early Christians, how they took off from the moment they received the Holy Spirit, the empowerment that was promised by the Lord, and also have come through the prophets that God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Jesus even saying in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And so this is a little bit what we will look into today. But first, before diving into some of those preachings that we find in the book of Acts, I just want to read from Luke chapter 24. And we're going to read there a little bit of what Jesus was expecting the first Christians and all Christians, you and me, even today, when He's giving us the Great Commission in preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, bringing the gospel of the kingdom. And let us just look here in Luke 24, chapter 24 and verse 44, and we will read some few verses here. And Jesus said to them, this is one of the last words of Jesus. He says, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. So the Old Testament is the springboard. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what would come. It's all about the Messiah and the crucifixion and what the blessings would be after he has come. And then he says, from verse 46, "Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Now, shortly after this, actually what happened is that God, He poured out His Spirit on an upper room where the disciples were gathered with approximately 120 others. They were gathered there. The Holy Spirit were poured out upon them. They started to speak in tongues and to prophesy. And the whole city were in bewilderment because all of them have heard, almost like a even the nature was touched by the coming in this sense of the Holy Spirit. And the people were gathering together, and the disciples that came out into the streets, some were looking at them saying that they were drunk, saying maybe that they were out of their minds. Then Peter, he stands up and he preached the very first gospel message after Christ had died and ascended and sent the Holy Spirit. And it's really worth our notice to see what Peter actually preached on that day of Pentecost about 2,000 years ago. Because that is the framework that he gives to us, that Jesus commanded him, and that we will see throughout the whole book of Acts. There are some certain components that we can find that builds up the gospel message, the gospel which is good news. And looking in Acts chapter 2, we actually find this very first gospel preaching that Peter holds. And we can read from Acts 2, from verse 14 and to verse 39. I'm not going to take time right now to read all of that. You can do that yourself. The scripture is here on the screen, so you can dive into that. But there are certain things that he was actually putting into his presentation. Number one, what he put into the presentation was that Jesus was attested by God with mighty signs and wonders and miracles, speaking about the life of Jesus. Then he was contextualizing that, saying and using the scriptures, using David and his seed or his offspring that will come, which will be the Messiah, as a springboard to share that Jesus is actually the Messiah. And number three, he shared about how Jesus was captured by the authorities, how he was crucified according to the scriptures, just as Jesus commanded him to do. And then in the end, it says that the people, they were cut to heart hearing the message that he preached. And then what did he do? Well, we dive into number four. He actually preached to them that they should repent and be baptized. Now, usually when I've heard repentance and when I thought about that, even before I was a Christian myself, I was thinking repentance sounds so harsh. It sounds so, it sounds so judgmental in a sense. At least that was my view, you know, repent. But do you know what? Repentance is the most amazing thing that is offered to us human beings. You know, before Christ, no man could repent and believe the gospel in the way that we can. To repent means to turn away from a life without God and turn to a life with God. It is to willingly give up a life, a sinful life, and turn to God. It doesn't mean that we should save ourselves and try to behave and maybe God will receive me or you. It simply means turning or being willing to turn away from a life outside of God and turn to God for his solution of salvation. That is what repentance means. And then to be baptized in water, to be baptized into Christ, to come into a new life together with him. After this short little break, we will look into one more incident, and I will also put on the screen some more scriptures that you can study on yourself, have a little self-study on. So I will be right back after this short little clip. Jesus held campaigns, open air meetings. He believed in reaching the multitudes. He believed in massively impacting this world with the kingdom of his Father. And so do we. That is why we are holding gospel campaigns, reaching out to the multitudes, reaching out to the lost, reaching out to the unreached. We do that standing hand in hand together with local pastors, churches, and leaders, even other ministries, to be able to preach the matchless gospel of Jesus Christ, healing the sick and setting the captives free. And I want to invite you and welcome you to stand together with us in three separate ways. I want to encourage you to pray for us, pray for our ministry, pray for our families. And secondly, I want to invite you to sow financially into our ministry. And thirdly, I want to welcome you and invite you to join us out on the missions field, preaching the gospel together with us. Together, we are reaching the multitudes. We are looking into what is the gospel, and that the gospel is found in the preaching of the early Christians, the apostles, and we are looking into the book of Acts. Here on the side, I'll just plot down some scriptures of different places in the book of Acts where you can actually, on your own, look into some of those and find some of the key elements of how they build up their gospel presentation. I just want to take us to Acts 17, when we are speaking of Paul. He comes to a city called Athens, and Athens at that time was a philosophical city. It was a very intellectual city. The height of Areopagus was there, where people were gathering from all Asia Minor and the known world to talk about the latest new ideas, philosophies, and doctrines. Paul came to Athens, and as he was walking the streets, he was disturbed in his spirit, seeing all the idols and seeing people being caught up in false religion and how this was ensnaring them. And he was walking there on the streets, he was talking to people at the marketplace, those who happened to be out in the streets, and he came across some Stoic philosophers. And as they were talking together and debating, they actually thought he was a lunatic, thinking that he was preaching some foreign gods, so they brought him up to this height of Areopagus. Now it is very interesting to see how Paul started out his preaching that day. You have to remember that Paul is now in a hostile environment. He is actually in an environment where they do not hold the worldview that he had, they don't have the background that he had, or where he previously had been preaching into the synagogues. He was preaching the gospel mainly to Jews who knew the Torah, who knew the scriptures, who knew about the coming Messiah. But now he is in an environment where nobody holds that worldview, at least a very few number of those who are there. The first thing that Paul is doing, that is, he's trying to build a repertoire with them. He tries to bridge, make a common ground and a bridge where we, by which he can convey the gospel. And he starts that with complimenting them for being religious, for actually being a people who is hungry after the gods, so to speak, or hungry for spiritual truths. Now he came across and he says, and I'm actually found this altar in your city saying that this is for an unknown God. This God I am here to preach to you about, the God you do not know. So he built a repertoire. That's the first thing that he does. The second thing that he does is that he mentioned that in the heart of every person, there is a longing for the true and the living God. And this God cannot be served with our hands, nor can he be compared to gods made of clay, stone, silver, gold, and these things, because God cannot be served in that way. But God actually is the one who is giving us life and everything that we need. And then he goes on to speaking about the Messiah that God has sent as a solution, because there will come a day where God will judge the world and God will actually use this person, the Christ, to be the judge, being qualified to do so, and even giving him, you know, the stamp to do that by raising him from the dead. So he was building repertoire, he was bringing in the gospel, he was bringing in that Christ, he lived and he died and he rose again from the dead, and then, the people, they couldn't take more than that. I think it is worth noticing, you know, I don't know how you would do it if you were pulled out from the streets of your village or your city to preach the gospel in a highly intellectual environment, maybe in a university, you stand there in front of professors and philosophers of our day, how you would convey the gospel. But I do believe that we have a lot to learn from the Apostle Paul in building common ground, in bringing in the message of Jesus, trying to find connection points to link our worldview, the worldview of the Bible, to the worldview that we are actually seeking to preach the gospel into. We have loads of things to learn from the Apostle Paul. I will again put the scriptures here that you can go through them. And I encourage you to find the components by which the early Christians build up their gospel message. And you will find that the first thing that they did is that they were building repertoire. They were giving an account of Jesus' life, his death, burial, and his resurrection, and calling people to repentance. That is the gospel, in an essence, found in the early Christians. So what is the gospel? Well, the gospel is found in the preaching of the early believers. Check it out, be encouraged, and use it in your everyday evangelism. God bless you.